And if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to be looking at verses 39 through 46 this morning. And as we continue our study through the book of Luke, we've kind of been bouncing back and forth between passages in chapter 22. There's a lot of linking passages in Luke 22. And so this morning, we're kind of right smack dab in the middle and the heart of Luke chapter 22. This is the night before Jesus is to be crucified. And in this particular night, we've seen him celebrate with the disciples the Lord's Supper. We've seen him call to Judas and call him out as one who would betray him. And now we see him withdrawing to a garden for a time of prayer. Now, there is a more detailed passage about the prayer that Jesus prays here in Luke chapter 22. If you read John chapter 17, you actually get a longer passage that tells us exactly the words that Jesus was praying for. But I want to focus this morning not so much on all of the words that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, but the specific will that Jesus prayed for. Have you ever asked yourself or asked somebody, what is God's will for my life? Anybody ever just beg and plead, Lord, will you just tell me what your will is? I think all of us at some point have kind of thrown our hands up almost in frustration and said, God, if you just tell me what to do, I will do it. Do I take this job or do I take that job? Do I stay in this relationship or do I pursue that relationship? Do I raise my kids this direction or do I take them that direction? Are you calling me to serve? Are you calling me to rest? Lord, what is your will for my life? And often we ask for God's will at specific moments of debate. Should I do A or B? Should I go here or there? Does God want me to run this direction or does God want me to run that direction? And I think the question I get asked more than anything else as a pastor is, how do I know what God's will is for me? Can I go ahead and tell you this morning, we are going to talk about knowing what God's will is, but I think that's the wrong question to ask. I think too often we're trying to debate and decide, what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? Instead of asking the question, if I'm in God's will for my life, do I accept it? If God wants me to do something, am I willing to do it? Will I be obedient to God's will? You know, more often than not, we're not trying to figure out what is God's will for our life. We're trying to figure out whether we want to be obedient to what we know God is calling us to do. And that's where the debate, more often than not, comes from. Or I feel a tug to do this, but that's hard. And for many of us, we see the difficulty in life as a closed door or God pushing us away from that direction instead of asking ourselves a question, Lord, if this is the will you have put in my life, am I willing to pursue it? We see a great example of this in Luke chapter 22. As Jesus prays for the disciples and he prays for the world, he also specifically in this passage prays for himself. And Luke highlights this prayer that he has about the will of God. Read with me Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46 together. He, that is Jesus, went out and made his way, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation." Whereas John chapter 17 has Jesus' prayer the duration almost of a complete chapter, Luke really gives us one sentence. Luke really gives us just a portion that he wants to focus on. And in that prayer, Jesus asks Lord, if there's any way that this crucifixion that is coming my way can pass, please let it be. Jesus prays for his own will. In his perfect deity, he knows that he will die on the cross. As God, he knows what must be done. But as being fully human, as well as fully God, he does not want to endure the will that God has for him. And he asks, Lord, will you remove this? Will you take it away? You know, there is a secret to finding out what God's will for our life is. If you've ever wondered, how do I know what God wants me to do? If you've ever been asking yourself, Lord, just show me what you want me to do. There is a secret that we see over and over and over again in Scripture. It's really not a secret because it's repeated so much that it's so obvious that it's not as if God is hiding a nugget. He is putting it plain in our face. If you want to know my will, do this and you will know my will. And Jesus is the epitome of it in Luke chapter 22. What we see in verses 39 is this verse, he went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Don't miss those two words, as usual. He went up and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives. What was he doing at the Mount of Olives as usual? What was it that he made a regular habit of going to the Mount of Olives to do? Verse 41 tells us, then he withdrew from them a stone's throw away, knelt down, and began to pray. If you want to know the secret to unlock God's will, the secret is prayer. And it's not much of a secret. The key to unlock God's will is prayer. More clearly, the key is having an open communication with God. It's that as usual phrase that is the key to knowing God's will. Being in constant connection with God. See, this wasn't a time that Jesus was worried and stressed and thought, well, I've got nothing better to do. I might as well withdraw and pray. Instead, he makes a regular habit and in his anguish and in his grief, takes the opportunity to do what he's always been doing. And as usual, he goes to the garden. And as usual, he secludes himself. And as usual, he has prayer and communication with the Father. And communication, by the way, is a two-way street. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is listening to God as well. Now, I've had this conversation with my children. I've had this conversation with some of you. I've had this conversation with many people. And I've always asked, have you ever audibly heard the voice of God? Because I haven't. If you have, I'd like to know what it was like. I have never heard a voice and thought, that's God speaking down to me. Now, I've played tricks on people before when they didn't know a microphone was on or speakers were active and start talking to them. The Lord wants you to give more money to the youth fund, you know, or the Lord is calling you to give your pastor peanut M&Ms, or, you know, I've tried that, but as far as actively hearing the voice of God, I've never done that. The closest I've ever heard was when I felt called to ministry. I was praying and I was asking, Lord, will you send someone to teach people the truth about God's word? Lord, would you just reveal people who would go and declare your word? And I did not audibly hear something, but immediately in my mind, and I know it was God speaking to me, he said, I've been calling you. And that was the only time in my entire life that I really feel like I heard from God. But as far as an audible listening and hearing God speak the way he does to Moses in the Old Testament and Elijah and the prophets, the way he spoke to Joseph and Mary and the way that he reveals himself through angels, I've never heard God speak that way. So if the key to unlocking God's will is prayer, and more specifically this open communication, I've got the talking to God down pat. I figured out how to do that. But how in the world am I supposed to hear what God is saying to me? How will I know in my prayer life what God is saying? And it's clear again as anything else. Because prayer and open communication involves more than talking to God. It involves listening. And God speaks to us clearly through his written word. We have a word from God. We have exactly what God wants us to know. And if you want the key to unlocking God's will for your life, you have to have an open communication, praying to him as usual, reading his word and listening to him as usual. The problem is you and I wait until the big decisions come. We try to figure out what God wants us to do, even though we've not talked to Him within the last 2 weeks, even though we've not read His Word outside of opening it up in church on Sunday mornings or in Sunday school. We've not had this open time of prayer and communication with God, and now all of a sudden we pray and say, Lord, will You tell me, is it A or is it B? Whereas Scripture teaches us that if we're obediently speaking with God as usual, we won't be confused. Oh, we may see two options, but the Lord will put in our lives exactly what He wants in our lives. The Lord will reveal to us the path exactly that He wants us to go on. And instead of trying to figure out all of these decisions, what ends up happening is we go, because I'm in a constant communication with God, I don't even know how I ended up here, but I know this is where God wants me to be. Jesus makes it very clear that the disciples should spend time in prayer. Because if they want to know how to live godly lives and not fall into sin, they have to spend time talking to God. That's why He tells them not once, but twice. The same phrase. He tells them before He prays and again after He prays. Luke chapter 22 verse 40 says, when Jesus reached the place, He told the disciples, pray that you may not fall into temptation. Pray so that you know what God wants you to do. Pray so that you know how to avoid sin and live godly lives. Jesus goes, as usual, and prays, and He comes back and He sees the disciples are asleep. And I like how it says they're asleep because of the exhaustion of their grief. Now here Jesus is sweating drops of blood. Lord, I know that I will be crucified tomorrow. Well, I know that I will die and bear this unbelievable pain, and I'm praying to You. And the disciples are so tired because it's been a long day, it's been a sad day, and bad things may or may not happen in the next 24 hours. We don't really know. We're so tired, we can't stay awake. And Jesus looks and repeats to them again in verse 46. Why are you sleeping? He asks them. Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. So that you'll know what the will of God is and not fall into sin. So that you will be obedient to what He wants you to do and clearly know what His will is. The key to unlock God's will is prayer. It is an open communication. It is a knowing that every day we're spending time talking to God. We see that Jesus prays specifically first for His own will. First for what He wants and what He desires. And so we read as He is learning about or knowing what God's will is. He says, Father, if You are willing, in verse 42, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done. Have you ever thought, it's selfish for me to pray what I want. I need to just seek God's will and pray for what He wants. I think there's a lot of people that have this mentality. I can't pray for the desires of my heart or for the things that I want. I had a student when I was in youth ministry ask me one time, Brother Trey, is it okay if I pray for a new bicycle? I really would like a new bicycle. I said, do you need a new bike? No, I just don't like my old bike. I'd really like to have a new bike. What, does your old bike work? Yeah, my old bike works just fine, but I just really want this new bike I saw. And is it okay that I pray for a new bicycle? As I started reading Scripture with him and asking him these questions, we looked at prayer together, and you know what I found? It's okay to pray for a new bicycle. It's okay. I said, sure, you pray all you want. That doesn't mean you'll get it, you know, but you can pray as much as you want. So you're sitting there. Is it okay if I pray for a new job or a different job? Is it okay that I pray for a pay increase? Is it okay that I pray for a new car or a different house? Is it okay that I pray for the things that I want? Well, look at Jesus' prayer here. His prayer is specifically for His own desire. Father, if You're willing, take this cup away from me. But you know, there's something important about praying for the desires of our heart that we often miss. It's not selfish to pray for what we want, but it's selfish to demand what we pray for. Jesus clearly says, Lord, You know my desire. I do not want to have to bear this crucifixion. But nevertheless, He says, not my will, but Yours be done. So pray for a new bike. but expect God's going to give you what you need, not always what you want. Pray for a different job. Pay for a different pay package. Pray for a different set of circumstances. But understand that while you're asking for the desires of your heart, we don't demand them. What we find is that God often gives us things that we don't like and did not want. And it's not that God is closing a door. It's that God is opening a difficult door. God's will is harder than our will. One of the reasons why we debate so much over option A and option B is because we know that one is probably what God wants us to do, but the other is really easier in what we want. So we debate and we pray, Lord, do you want me to move or do you want me to stay? Because I really want to move and I'm hoping that you'll tell me that. God's will does not mean an easy path. Often, God's will means extreme difficulty and even crucifixion. But listen to Jesus' prayer as he starts to formulate his prayer. He's praying for his own will. He's acknowledging he wants God's will. He's accepting God's will. And in accepting God's will for his life, in verse 44, he is in anguish and he prayed more fervently, and sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When Jesus understood the full plan of what was unfolding, of God's purpose in his life, of the Father's will for the Son, he was in such anguish that his sweat was blood. That he was literally so stressed out that his veins were bursting beneath his skin and pouring out through the sweat glands of his forehead. This is the acceptance of God's will, of the Father's will for Jesus. Have you ever accepted God's will with such certainty and such fear that you've sweated blood? Because I haven't. Have you ever recognized God's will for your life and come to grips with the fact that it is not what you want? As a matter of fact, you would rather have anything else. The promise that we have in Scripture is not that God's will for us is easy, but that God's will for us comes with Him. The promise is not that God's will for us is wide open and smooth sailing. It's that we don't go through it on our own. I love verse 43. Right before the sweats of blood are falling to the ground, in verse 43 it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. It was the Father looking down at the Son and saying, you don't have to go through this alone. I will be with you every step of the way. It's an angel saying, I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish my will for your life. It's God reassuring the Son that everything he is doing is in accordance to his plan and that he does not have to endure it in his own strength, but the strength of the Father is with him. Now here's the important thing, and the important thing is that we get the order of these verses right. I put them backwards on purpose, but we need to read them forward. If we see in verse 43, we see the strength of God coming on Jesus Christ, God the Son. We see the strength of the Father on him, the certainty of his will, the promise that he will be equipped to do it all. In that strength, the very next verse is when Jesus has such anguish that he sweats drops of blood. Because God does not say, I will remove the anguish. God does not say, I will take away the difficulty. God says, you're going to get through it. Realize that God's will for your life doesn't mean that you'll have such a peace that you won't have anguish. It doesn't mean that you'll have such a comfort that you won't feel worried. It doesn't mean that everything will be so smooth that it'll feel like just a bump in the road because you're so heavenly minded that this doesn't even bother you. God's will for your life often is extremely hard and extremely difficult. God's will is harder than our will, which is why we fight it so much. But the promise and the understanding we have is even though God's will is harder, God's will is also greater than our will. The outcome is always for our benefit. The outcome is always what we need. That doesn't mean the process is what we like. But the end result is exactly where God wants us to go. One of the most popular passages of all of Scripture, but especially of the Old Testament, is Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. So I know my will for your life. And it's not a plan that is going to bring you to disaster. It's not a plan that ultimately will leave you in anguish. It's a plan that will pull you through the difficulty and bring you a future and a hope. It is so much greater than anything you can possibly fathom. You know, God's will for our life is not an easy will, but it is a greater will. Listen to some verses that talk about God's will for our life. God's will is your repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God's will is to make you thankful, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God's will is to make you holy and perfect, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is to equip you with everything you need for a good work, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. God's will is to make you wise, James 1, 5. God's will is for your salvation, 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. God's will for your life is not something disastrous. The process feels disastrous, but God's will for your life is to make you exactly into who He created you to be. God's desire and His heart and His will is to pull you through the difficulty so that on the other side, you have a relationship that is closer to Him. This morning, I don't know what debate you have in God's will for your life, but I promise you that God's will is greater than the will that you have for yourself. I wonder this morning if we can look at our own lives and pray and echo the prayer of Jesus. Father, this is my heart's desire, but not my will. Yours be done. Can we pray together? Father, this morning we realize that we struggle to know clearly what you want for our lives. Lord, sometimes we know clearly what you want for our lives, but we don't want to have to endure the difficulty that it takes to follow your will. Lord, give us the promise and the hope and the future to know that your will is greater than our will. That your purpose is greater than our purpose. That your outcome is always greater than the outcome of following our own will. Father, this morning we know your heart's desire, according to 1 Timothy, is that all people come to a knowledge of salvation. Lord, your will is that at all costs, we would trust you as both the Savior and forgiver of our sins and the Lord and guide of our lives. So this morning, we submit to your will. We submit to your purpose. And we ask that you would show us clearly how you want us to live and equip us to carry out that will. It's in your name we pray. Amen.